I want you to turn the last book of the Bible, and the last chapter, and next to the last verse, Book of the Revelation, chapter 22, verse number 20.
Here the Bible declares, at the very end of God's revelation to us, He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to assemble ourselves here together. Thank you, Lord, today for the fellowship that we've enjoyed. Thank you today, dear Lord, for singing the hymns of the faith that encourage our hearts and lifts our spirit. Thank you for these specials today, and we pray you'll bless each of them. We ask you now to bless in the rest of this service, to lead us and guide us and direct us in the direction you'd have us to go. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. We find that the last declaration that Jesus makes in the entire scripture is that even so, I come quickly. And John, as he thinks about what Jesus said, he said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. There used to be a song, had a gentleman in my church in Alabama would sing occasionally, and he always sang it a cappella. And he sang, Jesus is coming soon. And you know, this morning, Jesus is coming soon. Our world today is in a mess. I mean, it's in a terrible, horrendous mess. It's so bad. I don't think anybody has all the answers this morning, and I know today we're looking in all the wrong places. I thought about, as I thought about this particular message today, and you know, in Luke chapter 21, I want to read to you a verse of Scripture there because we're going to look at some things over there. But Jesus makes this statement in Luke 21, at verse number 28. And he said, and when these things begin to come to pass, I'm glad he says when they begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. If you read the first part of Luke 21, and you want to turn back over to Matthew 24 and 25, and then begin in Revelation chapter 6 and read through the rest of that book, you'll find today that Jesus is predicting how rough and how tough times are going to become. And we're living in tough times this morning. I mean, times are getting rougher and rougher. Paul said that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And we're living, as Paul said, in perilous times or in dangerous times. As I thought about this particular passage of Scripture that I read to you in the beginning today, the other day I was looking at through some a box of stuff that I discovered that had been set aside after the tornado. And in the bottom of that box, I found a Bible that I'd used for many, many years. And in the back of the Bible, in the book of the Revelation, I had a sermon that I'd preached for many times down through the years. And I thought about, as I read that, the last time that I preached this particular sermon was in the First Baptist Church of Atoka, Tennessee. And in the evening service, they came in and said that they had some people and some escaped convicts, and they were armed. And so we had an armed guard sitting at the front door and at the basement door of the church. And I thought, well, this is something. And I was all the way down in the Bible Belt, and here I'm having to preach with an armed guard to protect us this morning. But Paul said, know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. But you know, in spite of all the perilous times, in spite of everything that's going on around us today, we're going to find out that God's got everything under control. I don't know about you. I was watching television last evening, and sometimes I watch a show on Saturday night called Larry's Country Diner, and they'll have some of the old-time country singers on there and some things. And I enjoy watching occasionally, and he'll pick out a year and give a lot of facts about the year. And last night he was talking about 1953. And one of the things that he said was a gallon of gas in 1953 was 19.9 cents per gallon. And I thought, well, that'd be great. That'd fill up for 19.9 cents a gallon. And I remember when I used to work at a service station and they hired a new guy, and one day this fellow pulled in and he said, give me five. And so Terry, he starts pumping the gas and finally comes in and he said, Mr. Herbert, he said, it won't hold $5. I'll just get $3 worth in it. He said, boy, I just wanted 5 gallons. this morning, I bought some gas for $2.91 a gallon. And I thought, well, that's a bargain. And I got to thinking, I never thought I'd think that $2.91 for a gallon of gas was a bargain. Did you? No, you didn't. But this morning, the economy that we're living in today is a very, very fragile economy. Gas fluctuates. Everything is going up and down. We look around the world tonight, not just in our country, but in the entire global system tonight is in trouble tonight. Nations are going bankrupt. Nations tonight have exceeded and everything that they've done. And one of the reasons is they've tried to socialize everything, and they're doing the same thing we're trying to do in America. They're trying to relieve people of responsibility, and so they try to guarantee them everything. And this morning it's got us all in an economy today that's in a real terrible shape today. I don't know what it's going to go in the days to come. I'm not an economist. I'm not for sure that even economists know what's going to happen, but I can tell you this. We are living in a time when the economy is in a very bad shape. And somebody says, what are we going to do? Well, I don't know. I don't have any idea. I don't know what to tell you this morning, except this. As you read the Scripture, as you study the Bible, understand one little simple fact. God is still in control. God is still in charge of this world today. A lot of people think they're in charge, and a lot of people are trying to change the world. But understand this, God is in charge. Sometime when you have time, sit down and take your Bible and read through the book of 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. And as you read there, as the Word of God chronicles for us and teaches us the history of the nation of Israel, and you begin to read how that Israel began to get in bad shape many times. Their economy would go bad and they would leave God and forsake God. And all at once, in the middle of some of those evil and wicked kings, God would raise up a righteous king. And for a brief period of time, Israel would get back on the straight and narrow. And then it would go back again. And it did that until the time that God had predicted. And the Assyrian hordes came into Israel. And then the Babylonian hordes came in to the nation of Judah and carried them away captivity for 70 long years. And God said that was going to take place. He'd already predicted it. It already happened. And this morning, understand this. God preserved the nations until it came time for them to go into captivity, until it came time for His judgment to fall upon them. Think about this morning. As you look around our world, God raises up and changes things and puts things back in perspective many times for a brief period of time, and then we see it go the other way, doing exactly the same thing it did in the days of Israel. And what it's doing today, it's paving the way. It's preparing the way for Jesus to return again. Because you see today, the King is coming. I want to tell you today, I believe in the reality of the Lord's return. I believe today that Jesus promised that He'd come again. He promises here in our text this morning. He promised in John chapter 14. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You know, I travel around and talk to a lot of people, and many times I see and they have troubled hearts. They're troubled about our world. Now, I'm not telling you today we shouldn't be burdened. I'm not telling you we shouldn't be concerned. I'm not telling you we shouldn't be people of prayer and pray for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. I'm not telling you we shouldn't have a burden in our heart for our country. But understand this today. Don't get so troubled and worked up that that's all that's ever on your mind. Why? Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Paul, as he wrote the book of 2 Thessalonians, as he wrote that particular church, and he said, and this in verse number 7, and to you who are troubled. Are you troubled this morning? Are you worried about the economy? Are you worried about what's going to take place in the days to come? Are you worried because the Supreme Court just okayed Obamacare? Are you worried because the economy today and prices are escalating? Are you worried about what's going on in our world today? Are you troubled? Are you just worried to death about it? Paul said, and you who are troubled, what did he say do? Rest with us. Rest with us. He said, just take it easy. Back up and don't worry so much. Just rest with us. Why? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angel. He said the Lord's coming again. Nothing you can do about it. You see, today times are rough and times are tough today and perilous and dangerous that we live in. But you know what? Jesus said your future is assured. I'm glad I got a future today. Amen. I am. I'm glad today I can tell you I have a glorious and wonderful future. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, is what John the Revelator had to say when Jesus said, even so, I come quickly. And this morning, I have a future that is assured, a glorious future today to be with the Lord. You read over in the book of Daniel, and as you study the prophecy of Daniel, and you find that it chronicles the history of the world, and it paves the way for the Antichrist. And today, the Antichrist, I believe, is about to arrive on the scene and be revealed for whom he really is this morning. I believe today that as we see a global economy beginning to take place, because many today say that's the only way to pull it out of dire straits is to have a global economy, a one world currency, a way today to control all the people of the world so that we can get everything back under control. And it's paving the way for the Antichrist to come today and declare himself to be God. And this morning we need to understand that God's got it headed in that direction. We're headed today toward the time when the Antichrist will come and people will receive him. But thanks be unto God, before that happens, we have a wonderful hope today, and that is that Jesus Christ is coming again. We have the blessed hope of his return. And today as Jesus returns to this earth this morning, as he comes back to this world, he's coming, the Bible says, first of all, to catch up his bride this morning. He's coming today to take his bride to be with him this morning. I'm glad that he's coming today to take his bride to be with him. I'm glad he's coming today to resurrect our bodies. You see, today Paul said we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. But he also said, and them which are asleep in Christ Jesus shall God raise first. I'm glad today that those bodies that we bury in Christian burial, those today who have went to be with the Lord today, whose bodies have been buried in the ground, will someday be resurrected and given a glorious body like unto his glorious body. Aren't you glad of that today? Aren't you glad today that when we walk up that lonely hillside, when we have to leave that cemetery with somebody's body in the ground, we have the glorious promise that Jesus is going to raise that body again, that he's going to change it and fashion it like unto his glorious body this morning. I'm glad today that I have that hope today. I thought about when I was used to travel and work, I used to go to a place called SMC, and they had a lot of scrap metal, and they'd have a big old magnet, and that dude would swing that big old magnet out over that field, and it'd jerk up all the metal. It left the plastic and the aluminum and all of that stuff. But he'd pick up all that metal, and he'd bring it over here. And this morning, I got to thinking about that. You know, one day the Lord's going to come over those cemeteries and get those that are his. He's going to resurrect them and give them a glorious body. And the Bible said we'll join them in there. The Bible says we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. I'm glad today that Jesus is coming again. He's going to rapture his bride. He's going to resurrect our bodies this morning. He's going to reclaim the crown. I'm glad he's coming today, and he's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. So what does all of this mean to you and I today, if the Lord's coming again? Why should we even be concerned about it? Well, first of all, it gives us courage. It today encourages us and lifts our spirit today because, you know, I'm glad today that I can give you a word of hope. I can give you a word of comfort. I can give you a word of strength. I can tell you today that no matter how bad it gets, thank God Jesus has still got it under control. You see, everything today loses its hold when you begin to think about that. Everything today, all our fears can disappear when we begin to think about that. Because today, the Lord's coming again. Tough time. We got a beautiful and glorious future assured for us, folks. Should cleanse our lives and purify our lives and comfort us and concentrate us. And hey, it already even set us up like concrete. You know, Macy sang a while ago, "I shall not be moved." I might have said that was a Baptist pastor wrote that after a deacon's meeting. I don't know. I'm glad today the psalmist said, "My heart's fixed, O Lord." I'm glad we don't have to be moved today. Why? Because I still believe the Lord's coming. What does it mean to me today? It means today that no matter what happens in my life, it doesn't matter what takes place, I've got a glorious future that Jesus has assured me of today. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." I'm glad I've got a mansion. He said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, what? I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I'm glad he's coming again so that I can go and be with him. The psalmist said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Brother Ellis sang about a while ago, "This valley's for me." And he sang about the shepherd choosing the route. See, that's what Psalms 23 says today. The Lord is my shepherd. And it begins to chronicle our lives. And it talks about some things that take place in our lives. It talks about the valley of the shadow of death through which all of us are passing right now. But then it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. I'm glad I'm headed for forever today. Aren't you glad that you're headed forever? Somebody asked me the other day, said, "But what'd you do after the tornado? Where are you living now?" And I told them and all of that stuff. And they said, "Well," asked them several more questions. And I said, "Well, you know, the thing about it is we had to build a new house. We had to move from one location to another." But I said, "You know, the Lord could decide to tear that one down tomorrow. I don't know. I hope not. But, you know, that's his world. That's his decision." But, you know, I'm headed to a place one of these days is forever. Amen. It's not going to change. I'm going to be there forever and forever and forever. Somebody says, "How long is that?" I don't know, but it's forever. That's all I can tell you today. Further than I can see. This morning, the Lord is coming again. And Jesus said, now, what we need to do is quit being troubled. We need to quit being worried. We need to begin to lift up our head. Why? Our redemption draweth nigh. Our redemption draweth nigh. One of these days, the Lord's going to come through the sky with a trump of God and the voice of the archangel. And as John said in Revelation chapter 4, the Bible, we're going to hear the voice say, "Come up hither." When we're going to come up and we're going to meet together in the air with the Lord. That's what it means to me today. You know, there's another side to that this morning. You see, the great future that I have that's assured because I've received Christ as my Lord and my Savior. When you begin to think about the other side of that, what about all of those today who this morning have decided that they don't want the Lord, that they don't this morning want to be part of the Lord's family today? Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. You see, it's going to be a horrible and terrible time for those who have rejected the Son of God, for those who have rejected the gospel, for those who have refused to be cleansed and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Paul, as he goes on and writes this particular church in the second chapter, and he said in verse number 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness this morning. See, a lot of people today, the most horrible thing that they could think about would be the Lord to come. That's the most horrible thing for a lot of people today. You say, why is that? Because they don't know the Lord. They've heard the gospel. They have rejected the Son of God. They have rejected the love and the mercy that God has shown through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And when you have rejected the Lord Jesus, when you have refused to be His child, when you have refused His forgiveness today, and He comes again, the Bible said that you shall be punished with everlasting destruction. The Bible said that you'll be damned because you chose this morning to have a life of pleasure instead of believing the gospel. Verse 10 of that second chapter said, and with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish because what? They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. God didn't sentence them there, they sentenced themselves. Jesus said, I come not into the world to condemn the world, because why? The world's condemned already. You see, you're already condemned, but Jesus made a way today. Jesus made a way. But if you refuse that way, how shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? If you refuse to partake and let God cleanse you in His blood. Dr. Adrian Rogers, I heard him preach many years ago on the second coming. And he told about one time he was traveling somewhere, and he said he had to go by train. And he said as he was sitting in the train station and a train pulled in and he was watching all of the people as they were getting off. And he said, you know, there would be a husband or a wife get off and they would be reunited with their spouse. And there were some children there reunited with their parents. And he just said, you know, people were coming, they were rejoicing and having a great time as that train was pulled into the station as the people departed. And he said, finally all the people had about cleared out. And I thought, well, that's a glorious reunion. That's going to be like it is when the Lord comes. Then he said about that time he saw another man, and they led him out of the train station and said he had handcuffs on, two policemen on each side. And said about that time a woman run up and began to try to get to him, and she said, I want to kiss my husband goodbye. And one of the guards said no, but the other one said, let her go. And about that time a little girl come running out and kneeled down and began to cry, don't take my daddy away, don't take my daddy away. Dr. Rogers said, I realized then that when the Lord comes, it's not going to be glorious and joyous for everybody. Because you see, some today are not going to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. My question to you very simply this morning, are you prepared for the Lord to come again? Everything points to the Lord's coming again. Everything points that He may come before we meet again. I don't know when He's coming. I have no idea. I can tell you, He said, when you think not. I think a lot of folks thinking not. But I can tell you this, He's coming again. He's coming this morning to redeem His children, to rapture His bride. But He's going to take His people out. And there's going to literally become hell upon this earth when the Antichrist takes over. And the sad thing, if you had the opportunity and you have rejected the Son of God, then the saddest thing I can tell you today, those people are without hope. I'd hate to know the Lord comes and left me behind. Because you see, then there is no hope. You've rejected what God has already done for you. You've rejected the invitation of God to be washed and cleansed in His blood. You've rejected today the Son of God. And when the King comes, when He comes this morning, He's not coming as a babe in a manger, but He's coming today as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you ready? Are you prepared if Jesus were to come in the next moment? Would you be here or would you be with the Lord? Think about it. Think about that. Would you be still here or would you be with the Lord? Where will you be when Jesus comes again? No doubt He's coming. No doubt. The question is, are you ready for Jesus to come now? All right, you'll stand together with me. Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time we've been together. We ask You to take this very simple message, that You might use it for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. For all that You do, we'll praise You. We'll thank You. We'll lift up Your name in praise. And for that one today, Lord, who's not ready for the Lord to come, I pray this will be the time, this will be the opportunity today to receive Christ and be cleansed from their sin. In Jesus' name, amen.